up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's almost the middle of July. Holy crap, time is flying by. NFL, we don't know what's going on with it, but you know what? We're here this week. The trio is back. The Triforce, if you will, for you Zelda fans. I have a son named Lincoln. His nickname is Link. I think I might like Zelda just a little bit. I'm Doug. I'm here with Tim, and I'm here with Tyler, who's broadcasting from home. So welcome home, Tyler. How are you?
Oh, man. I don't even know what it's like to be home and actually recording a podcast, but it feels really, really good. It feels natural. And speaking of middle of July, it was funny. I was chatting with my wife. We're just laying in the bed talking. Hot. And then she goes, man, I cannot believe it's already July 11th or July 12th today.
It's crazy. No,
she said 10th. So she was a day behind. She goes, man, I can't believe it's July 10th today. This was yesterday. And I go, honey, it's July 11th. She goes, oh my God.
It's crazy.
Goes, oh my God. I just lost a day.
Yeah, it's Chris Hogan Day. Remember that from Hard Knocks when he was with the Dolphins? They called him 7-Eleven because he was always open.
That's like a Wednesday being at work, and you're like, man, I can't wait for tomorrow. Friday's going to be so awesome. And then at the end of the day, somebody's like, hey, see you Thursday. And you're
like, oh, it just crushes your hopes and dreams.
Yeah. You're like, man, July is going by so quick. Yep. And I'm excited because end of July, that new Julio Jones jersey comes in.
Very nice. I'm just excited because we've got Scott Fishbowl drafts going on. Everybody's team looks good, so it's going to be interesting to see what all the records shake out to be. Seen a lot of really good teams. Only a couple of teams that I've looked at and I was like, I don't really like that one so much. But you know what? There's so much talent in the NFL. The builds on these teams are crazy. If you look at some of the ADPs, like Gronk's highest pick is like 33. His lowest pick is like 133.
They're all over.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing with quarterbacks. It's absolutely bonkers. Just like everyone else, I'm feeling pretty good about my team. So we won't go into it too much. Maybe we'll talk about it next week as we wrap up our drafts. I'm currently in round 15. Tyler's in round 14. And Tim is just about to wrap up his pick. Scott Fishbowl draft. He's got one more pick. He's going to take that ultimate flyer pick on Josh Gordon. Probably
league winner. I was thinking about Josh Gordon. And he got taken in the second to last round.
Really? All right. Yeah.
There's always that one guy.
I want to say it was Allie. I want to say it was that one
guy. Every league has an Izzy Alkafas. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Can never give up Josh Gordon. It'll never happen. So
Speaking of Izzy, this week we're talking trades. And what better to talk trades with than the trade calculator that we probably all use just as kind of a person on your shoulder. Like, okay, you're good. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, let me just check and see if this value is somewhere in the ballpark. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we are going to talk trades. We've got some fantasy news that we're going to cover. We're going to cover our stats and stuff segment as well. We're live on Periscope or YouTube. And if you want to get notifications when we go live, just make sure to check Dynasty Happy Hour. And you can click on that button and subscribe and make sure you drop a like. You know what's hilarious is I've been playing Fortnite. Tyler and I play Fortnite from time to time. And I just started playing with John Bosch, too. And when I'm not playing with them and I'm just in a random party playing squads, almost every single game, because I have my headset on, I get asked if I'm a YouTuber. And I'm like, you know what? I think it's because I'm old. And these are like kids. And they're like, are you this person? And I go, no, man, I'm just a dude. I'm a stay-at-home dad playing Fortnite. Just leave me alone. I'm not a YouTuber. And then I'll mess with them and I'll be like, hey, make sure you subscribe to the channel and drop a like. And they're like, oh, you are a YouTuber. It's so much fun.
Technically, you are a YouTuber.
Just not in the Fortnite landscape because I'm not that great. It's just fun. It's a way for me to escape. Right, Tyler? We like to shoot things. Blah, blah.
Yes, that is true. I've actually started playing, I don't know if you guys remember, BioShock. That's an older
good game.
Yep. I started playing that on Switch, and I am the furthest I've ever been, and I've owned that game on 360 and PS4.
Oh, maybe are you just getting better over time? Or are you just familiar with where you need to go?
It's like games when you have so many, you kind of just start tinkering with every game. Finally, I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm going to go nose in some single player games like Horizon for PS4.
Okay.
You know, those type of games. I'm actually going to try to beat them. I'm going to go into the story. Like God of War is a game I've always wanted to finish and I just never have. And I'm actually going to try.
I've always wanted a PlayStation for God of War, but I never bought one.
Yeah, and Last of Us is a great. It's one of my favorite games, and that's one game that I've actually finished.
Yeah, the Drake's games are the Uncharted Fortunes games are Uncharted. Yeah. Is what it called? Yeah, those are.
We should do a video game podcast. That'd be great, right, Tim?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there a lot of video game podcasts out there? I feel that there might not be, but I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, I did the Madden Matters podcast, and there wasn't really anything out there for Madden. If we didn't have so many technical difficulties, I probably would keep doing it, but. To each their own, RIP Madden Matters. Great concept, just failure to launch is all I'm going to say about that. So, all right, let's get into some news. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yes, I knew you were going to say yes. You're not going to say no, Doug. I'm not ready for news. So the biggest news that sent ripples through the sporting world was Patrick Mahomes, Kermit the Frog himself, getting a 10-year $503 million contract. Yeah, I believe he's the first athlete to breach $500 million in his contract. Mm-hmm. So you may ask, what does $500 million get you in life? Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked because I am here to tell you. So you can buy 71,429 wells to serve communities in Africa through Water Wells for Africa. That's a fun fact. You can buy 4,000 private islands or the 6 most expensive, whichever you prefer. You can buy 100 Lamborghini Veneo Roadsters with extra money left over to tip the valet. You can buy 50 gold-plated Bugatti Veyrons. I've actually stood next to a Bugatti Veyron, and that is a sexy beast of a vehicle. You can buy 10 of the most expensive domain names ever sold, like carinsurance.com. You can buy 7 of Vincent van Gogh's most expensive paintings ever. So if you're a big art aficionado, you can do that. You can buy 2 super yachts, both at 100 meters long, and 100 crew members to man them both. I like that idea. You can buy the dream jet, the BBJ787, which is the most expensive private jet. And you can also buy State Farm Stadium, which is the Cardinals stadium, the entire construction cost of the actual stadium with $500 million. I think we all knew.
How much ketchup? Because that's what matters for Mahomes. How much steak and ketchup?
It's Heinz only. Is he a Heinz guy? Maybe he should have signed with the Steelers. I don't know. You know, I'm not surprised that Patrick Mahomes, in essence, is going to be a Kansas City Chief for life. You know, it didn't really change his cap number for this year. I know they're trying to sign Chris Jones long term, their defensive tackle. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see Mahomes is going to be there now for a total with this 10-year extension. He's already 5 years in the league, or this will be his 5th year in the league. So, I mean, you're looking at 15 years. He's pretty much going to be a Chief for life. So you can load up on Chiefs in confidence and know that Mahomes isn't going to go anywhere. So my question to you, Tim, is he your QB1 in Dynasty or is it Lamar Jackson?
It's Mahomes.
Okay.
It's always been Mahomes. And just for the fact that as much of a Konami code quarterback that Lamar is, to steal Doug's line there, Patrick Mahomes plays a certain style of football that lessens the risk he takes to bodily injury on a play-by-play basis. And I love, 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 love Lamar Jackson and his upside. But Mahomes, with his arm talent, currently the weapons around him, that coach, they asked Andy Reid if he plans to still be coaching when Mahomes' contract is up. And he said something about, my early 70s. I could see myself coaching to that age. So if Mahomes were to stay around with Andy that entire time, I think it'd be a great thing for both of them. So yeah, I got Mahomes as my QB1 in Dynasty.
Yeah, we'll see if the diabetes lets Andy Reid around that long.
Oh, come on.
Hey, don't talk about my head coach like that. That's just not polite.
What do you think, Tyler? You got Mahomes number one as well?
Oh yeah. I mean, a talent like that gets a contract like that. And like you said, the players around him, like Tyreek Hill, he's probably got another 5 years left. He's only got 2 years, I think, left on his contract. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. But the cool thing about this contract is it sounds like he only gets a percentage of the salary. So if the cap goes up, his contract stays at that percentage of the salary. And that's like the details of it were kind of like that. Do you know what I'm kind of saying? I think it's at like,
yeah, they had escalators based on a bunch of different stuff. It was a really, really detailed ins and outs. And by the way, Tim, the Konami Code quarterback is all credit to Rich Rebar. He's the one that coined that. Mm-hmm. It's an easy way to reference a running quarterback is all. So shout out to Rich Rebar.
We got the numbers. It's 200 million 32 ounce bottles of Heinz ketchup.
Dingus, for that fact and that quick math. That is a metric F-ton of bottles of Heinz ketchup.
That's a lot of tomatoes. Ugh. Yeah. Tomatoes are gross. Ketchup's fine.
I don't like tomatoes either. And I'm not a big ketchup fan. You know what I did try? I was at my neighbor's house today, and they had that mayo chip, which is the mayonnaise and ketchup mashup.
Any good?
AKA fancy sauce, if you're a Step Brothers fan.
Yeah, fancy sauce.
It actually was pretty good. I saw it in the store last week, and I looked at it and I go, oh, fancy sauce. And then I tried it and I was like, you know what? I might have to get me a jug of this. It's not bad.
So I want to try the mustard one because I'm a mustard
fan. Yeah, they had like
fan.
Four different kinds that were all mashed up together. And I was like, they should have a sampler pack so you can try them and you don't have to buy the big thing. And then if it sucks, you throw it away.
I'm surprised they don't do like grilled onions and mustard together in a bottle.
A grilled onion, garlic, and mayo.
That would be good.
Yeah, see, that would be good. All right, let's keep it on task here. So we all agree Mahomes is our QB1 in Dynasty for all the things that we said. He's on another level, and I think that's pretty apparent. You know, without the injury last year, I think he would have been an easy 40 touchdown. And, you know, he's always got that potential for 40 to 50 touchdowns every single year, especially if they're going to keep the shelves stocked with talent around him. So in other news, really, you know, a little bit of a slow week other than the Mahomes thing, but we did get some wind that Raheem Mostert requested a trade from the 49ers. Now, he's scheduled to earn $3.15 million in 2020 and $3.5 million in 2021, which for a guy that was bouncing around the league, was a special teamer, now he's in that running back mix along with Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson, and Jamichael Hasty. Wink, wink.
My name's Jeff.
And so I'm kind of surprised because, you know, $3.15 million for, you know, a 28-year-old running back, he must maybe his agent overvalues him. I don't know. But what I want to ask is, do you think he changes teams? And if he does, who benefits the most from him leaving the 49ers? And I think I know what both of you guys' answer is going to be. So I'm going to go to Tyler first on this one. Give me your pulse on the Raheem Mostert situation in San Francisco.
I can't see him moving on. I think he'll be a 49er. It's a weird situation. And he just got paid last year, I think it was, at the end of the year. So I don't think that he's going to get a different contract, but it's a weird, weird situation because what team needs a running back? It just seems like people don't want to pay running backs. And the 3.5 mil that you said that he's making, I mean, that's pretty good for where he came from, his situation came from. So, I mean, play under that contract. I get you're 28 and I get you want to get paid, but what are you asking for if you want to get paid more?
Yeah, I mean, he got that contract based off of his special teams ability and his special teams play. And I understand that, you know, he's slotted in to be the starter. He's seeing Tevin Coleman, who's getting paid more. Jerick McKinnon's still there. They gave him a big old fat contract when they brought him over from Minnesota. He kind of wants to be paid like some of the other running backs there. But what I thought was fun about this is being the Scott Fishbowl is going on right now. Once this news was announced, to just kind of jump to Twitter, jump in your drafts and see how soon after that was all happening. I think it was about 30, 35 minutes after I heard the announcement, I saw Tevin Coleman go on my draft.
Yeah, Coleman went pretty quickly. And, you know, I think the biggest benefactor, if Mostert does move on, I mean, it's going to be Jerick McKinnon, let's be honest. If you get hyped for Twitter workout videos, it was a Jerick McKinnon type of week on Twitter, working with the footwork king, doing all sorts of stuff. I mean, the man looks absolutely yoked. I want to see McKinnon be a thing because I've always liked the talent. So, and I think in San Francisco, in that Shanahan system, like, yeah, he could definitely be a thing. So I think even if Mostert is there, I think McKinnon can be some sort of fantasy relevant. Now, if he's out of the picture, then it's wheels up for McKinnon, especially late in your startups.
Where are some teams that Mostert could go to that he could actually start and be? I can't figure out a team.
Tampa, Miami.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
Miami. No, but they just traded.
Breida is a better running back than Mostert. Breida doesn't stay healthy.
I mean, you have a bias, is what that's called. So
no, I believe Breida in that San Francisco system was statistically better on a game by game basis. He got hot at the end of the season. Breida just could never stay healthy. When given the opportunity, a healthy Breida was very, very good.
Hmm. Yeah, I really like Mostert, but let's be honest. In that system, anybody can be good. I mean, Doug could go in that system and probably run for 800 yards.
I'm the same height as Jalen Hurd, so like, you need a tall running back, I'll do it.
You know where Mostert could start? New England.
Oh my God! That
they just freed up $7 million in cap room with the Antonio Brown and Aaron Hernandez settlements. Let's go, Mostert. He plays special teams, which we all know Belichick loves.
Belichick would have him doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Rex Burkhead just restructured. All that's what I'm saying, man. Mostert, New England. That would be quite the coup if that were to happen.
That'd like the Jets maybe as a backup to Le'Veon Bell, but he wouldn't like that. There's just no way. I think he moves. Yeah, San Francisco is his best bet to be productive and make a little more money in his career. So,
unless he went to like the Chargers and it was him and Eckler, that'd be a fun combo.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, I believe in Josh Kelly, so I don't want to see that happen. But yeah, that would be fun. So, all right, so that's going to wrap us up for news. Like I said, not a lot going on there. You know, some of the news is there has been a handful of positive COVID tests in some of these team facilities. So, again, I'm skeptical that the season is going to get underway when it's supposed to, or it does get underway and then it gets postponed. So it's all fun and games. We're drafting these Scott Fishbowl teams, but I'm just trying to keep myself realistic to be like, this team that I drafted just may not even play, which will be fun. So that's a whole nother discussion. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit.
When we talk
trades. Yeah.
I honestly do think the season will happen because Goodell won't allow the season not to happen.
He's going to be like Dolph Lundgren. If he dies, he dies.
I think the issue isn't about that because I think we've seen that kind of level off the death totals. I don't think they've been extreme, but I do want to say that the worry is families and passing
I mean, that's with everyone.
There's a number of players that have kids that have underlying issues.
What about James Conner? Cancer survivor, Mark Andrews, diabetes.
What about all the guys that like sickle cell?
If there's an opt out clause, what if a guy like Mark Andrews decides he's going to sit out?
Nick Boyle wheels up, baby.
Yeah. It could happen, and I would not. At that, I'm going to be honest with you. That kind of excites me, because the best part about fantasy.
You're a sycophant.
It's the fun thing about fantasy is having a deep roster and having these things like come at you out of nowhere and be like, well, like say you had an injury at tight end and say instead of opting out, it's an injury to Mark Andrews week two.
So it's like being an Antonio Brown owner in Dynasty.
You got to completely rewire your whole team. And that's what I love that in Dynasty, and that's where trades come from. I mean, you have an injury on your team. You've got to look at your team and be like, okay, where am I deep at? Where can I figure out what pieces can I feel comfortable moving and not have like a huge hit? Like say I've got five stud receivers and I need a tight end then. So I move the receiver for a tight end. Like say I'm going to trade, I don't know, Mike Evans for a Hockenson. Just take that jump in a tight end premium league. Like say, okay, let's do this because I need a tight end with huge upside that could take that Mark Andrews leap. And that's what gets my blood pumping for Dynasty.
Yeah, it's one way to look at it. That's for sure. I mean, it would suck if there was a bunch of look at all the baseball players that have opted out. I mean, you've got some big names, Buster Posey, Ryan Zimmerman. There's been a lot of guys that if you play fantasy baseball, you're going to be like, oh damn, like this guy's not playing this season.
Yeah, the White Sox pitcher.
Yeah, and there's been NBA players that are opting out as well. So yeah, I mean, it's going to happen in the NFL. If you don't think it's going to happen, then you're just naive. But there are going to be players that choose to opt out for whatever reason, whether it's to protect their family, to protect themselves. It's going to happen. So, you know, having a deep roster in those cases will make a lot of sense. And hopefully your dynasty GMs will open up extra IR spots available, because I think we are going to see, you know, those players that sit out for COVID, and you should be able to put them in your IR and free up a roster spot, I think.
And with that being said, Doug, I would suggest if they do get the season off the ground, and I know in some of the leagues I commish, I'm going to add a couple IR spots just for COVID related incidences. But I think the smart move is to just don't go as crazy with your waiver budget early in the season, because as the season goes, it's going to happen. I want to say Dr. Gene Bramble of the Football Guys was saying you have to be comfortable with the number 150. At least 150 players will contract the virus if they play the season. Mm-hmm. So just imagine, you know, that's not just all going to be offensive lineman, defensive lineman type stuff.
Yeah, and friend of the show,
players, quarterbacks.
In front of the show, Zach Reed pointed out that even if a death rate is 0.06%, that's a player. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, mm-hmm. you know, is the likelihood of a player dying of COVID-19 is a player in the NFL. That's, you know, it's 0.06% of the total player pool, but that's still a player. I mean, it's just like anyone, you know, like if you know people that had it, you know, someone that's passed, like that's the kind of thing we're going to have to look at. Like that's going to happen. And it's going to be crazy, because it's every time we get closer to like the NBA starting, MLB starting, NHL starting, these things are happening. So I don't know. This is another pod for another time, but
yeah, I was gonna say it's legit the hardest thing for my mind to think about, because you sit there and think about, okay, if they have to knock this season, next season's going to be in jeopardy too, because this is not going away. This is something that's not going to get better without a vaccine.
So there's a vaccine.
Here's vaccines another, are like 2 to 5 years away. It's a mess.
Another layer is, scouts will not be allowed in college facilities this year. Scouts that used to go have eyes on these college players, these area scouts. Everything's going to be done via, you know, Skype, StreamYard, things like that, Zoom. They're going to be able to make phone calls. They'll be able to watch game tape. So now we're going to have GMs of front offices making decisions very much like dynasty GMs do, where they grind some film and hope they
check out some analytics.
So like a lot of the Debbie people are saying that, you know, this year it's going to be a lot harder for that unknown, like Joe Burrow player, to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And be good. It's a good thing Trey Nance, I think that's his name.
Trey Lance.
Yeah. There we go.
Like, not like Nance. Sir Lancelot. Not like Jim Nance.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to come out of nowhere. There's already a lot of hype on him. There's
many people and that is why, like, he got lucky. He had some hype. He had a good year last year. But the one quarterback that just comes out of nowhere. You're 100%
right, though.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
There's a kid at Iowa State or Arizona State or something that he's been okay. And then all of a sudden this season, he just starts lighting defenses up, and he starts getting into that top five quarterback talk.
Yep.
It's not going to happen for that
kid. Some kid out of Burlap Bag University. I'm just kidding.
I like that.
All right, let's get on to stats and stuff. It's time. I'm going to give you the info for two mystery players, Tim and Tyler. You decide which player that you prefer. If you think you know who they are, you can guess the players after the other person has answered. I'll reveal at the end who they are and their ADPs. Are you guys ready? The answer is yes, of course you are. So player A... in three of his past four seasons, this 27-year-old has had at least 66 receptions, missing the mark when injured in 2018. Being targeted 122 times, this player finished as the wide receiver 26 in 2019 in PPR scoring. This player's current team finished in the bottom 10 for pass attempts in 2019. Player B, this soon-to-be 27-year-old has had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. This player has only had one season over 64 receptions, which was in 2018. He had 102 receptions that year. Over the past four seasons, this player's worst fantasy finish was wide receiver 30. So I'm going to go to you, Tim, first. Which player would you rather have, player A or player B?
I'm going to take player B. I don't like the fact that he's only got over that what, 60 some reception mark once in the past couple years. But the fact that they've finished no lower than wide receiver 30 is what excites me. So you're almost guaranteeing yourself a wide receiver 2 year. I'll take player B.
Okay, Tyler, you picking player A or player B?
Oh man, I have no idea who they are. I thought I did, but I will go player A just to kind of play contrarian.
Oh, all right. So, Tim, did you have any? Tim, Tyler says he has no idea who these players are. Tim, would you like to take a stab at it? Either one.
Where did it say player A finished? Like wide receiver 26 or something?
He was wide receiver 26 in 2019 in PPR scoring with 122 targets.
I got a couple guesses if Tim doesn't want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cooper Kupp and Diggs are the two that crossed my mind for either one of them.
Okay.
Player A was 27 already?
Yeah.
That'd be Kupp or going to be 27, I think Kupp is.
Is one of them Jamison Crowder?
All right. Very good, gentlemen. So player A is Jamison Crowder, who currently has a wide receiver 54 ADP on DLF. Player B, Tyler, is Stephon Diggs, who is the wide receiver 19 in DLF ADP. So, you know, there's a gap here of 35 spots between the two players. So, you know, I know Diggs is the sexy name, but Crowder is pretty consistent. Crowder. And he's pretty consistent. So, you know, Diggs for the name or Crowder. So now that you know this information, based on their ADP, which one would you rather have?
Diggs.
Okay.
Crowder. And it's only because I could get plus.
Sure.
Like, if I were going to... We're talking trades. If I'm going to trade Diggs for Crowder, I could get a first, possibly more. And I would love that.
Yeah.
Because as much as I liked Diggs in Minnesota and all he did for us, like the catch or AKA the missed tackle by Williams, the horrible, horrible tackle by Williams. I mean, we all love Diggs up here. But, I mean, going to Josh Allen and looking at the deep ball completion rate, compared to Josh Allen and Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Diggs might have a harder time putting up stats than we think. As much as I like Josh Allen, I have a hard time thinking Diggs is going to rise above where he's already been.
I feel like Diggs, and you can edit this out if you feel like it, whatever. I feel that Diggs is like the ultimate fantasy football dick tease, because Diggs has the talent, but he's never really had that big wide receiver one season that we've kind of all seen. They're like, this kid is so talented, great route runner, he's got speed, da-da-da-da-da, but he's never really paid off that expectation. So, yeah, he's like the fantasy dick tease to me at the receiver position.
MPS, so, why in the hell would I edit that out? That's great.
I don't know. You know, I know you wanted
to... As a matter of fact.
You wanted us to get
Dick
a little
podcast.
Stephon Dick Tease Diggs. Diggs Tease, if you will.
Diggs Tease. That's great.
Diggs Tease. I know. Well, you wanted us to spice it up a little bit, but I'll drop F-bombs left and right if you let me. But, you know, I figure I got to work my way in a little bit playing just the tip like Stephon Diggs does with us in fantasy. So we've got a word from our sponsor before we move on to our main segment here where we're going to talk trades. So I have to ask you, do you think that you're smarter than an NFL GM? Could be. Do you think you're the best at fantasy football, or do you think you're pretty good? Well, here's your chance that you can prove it. So Dynasty Owner is the only patented fantasy sports game that uses actual NFL salaries and contracts. You manage your team from all levels, owner to general manager to coach. Dynasty Owner is for the elite and it's very smart fantasy football player because it has so many layers. It's so involved. There's no offseason in Dynasty Owner. The rookie draft matters. Free agency, of course, matters. And every single contract matters. If you had Cam Newton on your squad and he just went to that salary, you're like, oh, damn, Cam is worth a metric ton now because he's only making $500,000 as a base salary. You can do a startup in 2020, which is right now, using actual NFL player contracts and salaries, then improve your team each year with a 3-round rookie draft. And by trading players and draft picks, you can win weekly prizes, seasonal prizes, and you can compete in the chase for the ring. Mobile app is up and running. You can download it on iOS and Android. And there's rookie drafts that have been going on. And you can do mock drafts as well from the desktop and mobile browsers. So to learn more and mock draft for the price of free, go to www.dynastyowner.com. So now I'm going to hand the reins over. My hosting gig is done for the night. I'm going to hand the reins over to Tim, who's going to take it away and roll us right into some trade talk. So Timmy, I'm passing the mic to you, my friend.
All right. Well, yeah, Tyler hit us up earlier today, said he wanted to talk some trades, wanted to have kind of a natural conversation about trades. We did put out on Twitter that we were going to do something like this. And a few of you reached out to Twitter, reached out to us on Twitter to submit some questions. But we're also looking for questions there in the chat. So we got the live chat open. If you have any questions about trades, throw them out there.
Can I cut in?
Go ahead.
I want to talk naturally of our trades, how we go about trading, like how Zach gave us a question that we'll get to, kind of that aspect of trading. Like, how do we look at trades? How in the world do we go about trading? How hard is it for us to trade with people? How hard is it for us to, quote unquote, lose a trade, but in our mind think we're winning? Like, how hard is it to let go of some value in a trade that a calculator will show, but knowing that we have major upside on our trade? Like, that kind of outlook. I was on the Go District pod, and that's all we talked about is trading, and how I said it's like a trading gene you need to have to be able to really pull the trigger a bunch, like a Shea Manila, an outhouse. Those people that constantly trade, like me, how I could see a trade and it might not be fair value, but I'm okay with it. And I can just, without countering, hit accept.
I'm okay with it. Tyler, you're one of those people that if you get in that trading mood, if you get that fever, if you get that itch, if you are in a league with Tyler and you time things right, if you just randomly send him an offer and he gets that itch, he might just randomly hit that accept button on you. Or there's days where I know I've seen Tyler in leagues throw out 5-10 offers across the league, be moving and shaking. He'll make a deal, acquire a player or two, a pick or two, and then the very next deal he does, he's moving the stuff he just acquired to get another piece he wanted even more.
I have a challenge for Tyler.
Okay.
So, Tyler, you own N'Keal Harry in a league that we did a startup in. And both Tim and I have interest in him. So I'm going to give you a challenge. Take a look at our rosters while we're podcasting.
So I'm going to give you a challenge. I probably don't own him. I probably don't own him.
Doug, what would you give for N'Keal Harry? Because I might have already got him.
Oh, you guys made a trade. See, I don't get sleeper notifications. It's so
that was last night.
Yep.
Well, what was the trade? Let's go over it.
Okay. So Tyler put a couple guys on the block yesterday. One of them being... N'Keal Harry. He put Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the block. I'm very interested to see if you got any offers out on him.
No.
And then Baker Mayfield as well. And Doug and I, in our little text chat with each other, both of us said, hey, what's up with N'Keal Harry? So Tyler sent me an offer. I didn't love the original offer. I
never sent me anything, dingus.
I mean, that's because those get lost with all the nudes you send, Doug.
That is true. You're like dick pic, trade offer, dick pic.
Just gets lost in all the shuffle.
But I threw a counter back at Tyler, and Tyler accepted right away. I got N'Keal Harry and a 2021 second. I gave up Hayden Hurst, the Falcons tight end, and Gardner Minshew. Now, this is a super flex. On the surface, I definitely lost this trade. If you would plug this into a calculator, I'm willing to bet it's going to tell you that I lost this trade. And I'm okay with that. I'm taking the upside of Harry here. My other quarterbacks in this league, I know I have Mahomes in this. I want to say I got Brady, Darnold. I can't remember everybody I have in that league, but I was okay with moving away from Gardner Minshew. I would imagine the Jags are probably going to do the same thing next year anyways. And I think N'Keal Harry's, despite the scary rookie season, I hope he's trending up, and I'll take the 2021 second, and I hope I can turn that into something. So
I like that move for you, Tim. I like it.
I like the move for me, because I was actually thinking about what we were just talking about with leagues. And with Minshew, it gives me four liable starting quarterbacks. So if the COVID hits, I'm okay. Same with tight ends. I have Mark Andrews and Hockenson, but now I have Hurst. So now I have that third tight end that I feel comfortable with. And I'm not, scared if somebody gets hit with COVID or just decides to opt out, like we talked about with Mark Andrews and having diabetes, that could be an issue. So I feel a little more comfortable with my team. I think Hurst, all he needs to do is stay healthy.
And plus, he's on the Falcons, so that doesn't hurt.
That is a huge bias. Yeah. So
doesn't he have red hair as well?
Yes. Yeah. He is what
I'm he's got glowing red hairs, if I remember.
I'm connecting the dots now.
He's a ginger Thor, is what we call him.
in the ginger world, that's what he's known as.
Yes.
Dingus in the chat brings up a good point. He says he's a petty bastard, send him a crappy offer, and he's not going to talk to you for 3 years. I think that's probably a little exaggerated, but how do you guys go about handing crappy offers? We've all got them where you see, ooh, I got a trade offer. Let's see what it is. You click on the app, you open it up, and you're like, this is the biggest pile of garbage I've ever seen in my life. Who would even do this? Why would you even waste your time and your effort putting this together?
So you guys are East Coast. You guys are East Coast. So you guys tell me how you guys handle that. Do you guys, Tim, I'm guessing you throw a beer can or something like that. But Doug, what do you do?
So I typically, if I get a crappy offer, I typically take the high road on it. I'll look at it and be like, are you crazy? And then I'll send back like a quick note. If I'm in a good mood, I'll be like, hey, that's just really not enough for this player. I'll take a look at your team, possibly encounter. Sometimes I'll put that. Sometimes I'll put like, are you high? I've put that before. And like, what planet do you live on is probably my favorite one. Because there's some that are just so incredibly bad. I'm like, what planet are you from? Yes. Because it's just out of this world. So I'll just reject it and not put comments, because I think that's kind of like, you should probably get the gist of like, oh, that was probably not good because you didn't even put comments in there, and reject it immediately after receiving it. So I don't get mad. I don't hold a grudge. I honestly try to look at their team and try to figure it out. And if it doesn't make sense when I look at their team, I'm like, you know what? We're not going to be able to work a trade here. It just doesn't make sense for either one of us. So I just move on.
Yep. It's the owners that tend to send those all the time, where they send the one. So the first one, you know, hits your inbox, you jump in there, you're like, ooh, you're all excited, you get the trade offer. And it's like, oh, this is terrible. I'll have that little conversation that Doug was kind of talking about. Hey, we're way off on how we value these players that are in this trade. Maybe there's something else we can work at. Like who are you actually targeting here? Let's see what we can do. I'll tell you what I'm comfortable with for player A. And, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But then 2 days later, you get another offer and it's just as bad or worse than the original. And now it's like, okay. So then after if I get enough of those from the same individual, I will send essentially the 180. I'll send the lopsided trade the other way and just, hey, here, this is how this feels. Enjoy this. And, I don't expect them to accept it because it's a terrible offer for them. But, I that's kind of how I deal with it.
Yeah. No, my favorite part is home leagues when you get offers. And I've actually tried to sway my values in home leagues. Doug, you're actually in a home league of mine. You've joined it. Some of the offers we get in that league
are
terrible. And I mean, it's, we are in trades almost every day. These guys like offer trades maybe five times a year, if that. So when we look at trades from home leagues, it's almost laughable for me. Like I have to hold back. There's been a couple times where I'm like, okay, let me explain to you why this trade is not good. Like I've actually tried to give advice, and they will sit there and be like, well,
why you should not take Chase Young at 103.
Yeah, and it's just like I sit there and I go, okay, this guy is not worth this much.
My team needed defensive end help.
This guy's not worth this much. And he's just like, well, for my team, he's a starter. Okay, that's great for your team. Cool. So it's home league trades are very tough, and I've actually had to sway, like I said, sway values for my own sake. If I want to make trades in home leagues, I've got to lose a decent amount of value if I want to make a trade for players that I like players that I like. I'm willing to take the hit at that moment, thinking that they could be on the rise. So, and with Sharks, like UDPL is is interesting. I think we're all laughing at Zach's comment. Yeah, yeah. Doug and I in this league, it's IDP, but he goes, Zach goes, the best part is it's not IDP. Chase Young went 103.
Chase Young hit 103 anyways. It's going to be a storm.
I mean, that's probably one of the best comments we've had in the chat so far. And
that's good. This pod.
But yeah, just trading in general, you've got to go in knowing that, you know, you're going to get a bad offer and you've got to expect it. So you got to take that punch on the chin and just hold back from not saying anything. Sometimes it's tough. And yes, I, as a Minnesotan, have said some bad things to people.
Gosh, because, darn it. Yeah,
yes. Whoa. That's nuts. But no, trading is fun to me. And what I like to do is I like to be like, okay, what a lot of people like to do is, okay, I want this player. What they want to do is make these big trades. Like all of a sudden they add four people and you add four people and they're like, how about this? And you're just like, okay, no. Let's start from scratch. I like to kind of like, okay, let's just wipe this clean. Let's start over. I want this single player. I don't want these other pieces. I don't want your four nickels for my dollar.
I want your salad. I don't want your croutons, bro.
Well, croutons are the best part. Come on, man. Like Tim disagreed with me, I think.
I guess. It's stale bread. Not really into croutons.
Oh my God.
Croutons. No, I completely agree with Tyler where you have that one offer. You're like, hey, I want Julio Jones. You send the offer out for Julio Jones. I'll give you Christian Kirk and a pick. And then they counter, and you see it's Julio Jones, Bilal Powell, Damian Williams, four picks, Cole Beasley for your six players, and two. It's like, what are we doing? Like,
this is I'll throw in Alex Erickson just because.
Like, what? No, that's not what we're doing here. I would really like to get my hands on Julio Jones. I'll give you a young up and coming wide receiver.
I would.
And that's how Tyler gets a restraining order against him.
No. His ears are too small.
But yeah, I've had those too, Tyler, where you try to just send out the pretty simple offer of player I want or player and pick or whatever. And this is the package I'm willing to give or the player I'm willing to give. And it comes back to you four or five times more convoluted than what you originally sent out. And you're like, wait, we're on some other stuff we don't need to be on right now.
So
take a step back.
I'll kind of explain how I go about trades is I'll look at trade bait and I'll see if one of my players that I'm shooting for is on there. If they are, I'll text them or DM them and say, hey, I'm interested in this guy on the trade bait. What players are you interested in on my team that you'd want? And the thing is, they'll send you a list. If nothing matches up that you want to give, chances are that you're going to make a trade are slim. Hmm. So honestly, I'll sit there and I'll be like, I don't really want to give these guys. Here's a player. Here's a list of players I'm actually looking to shop. But I'm also like, players are not just stuck on your team. Everybody's for sale for a price. So I'll sit there and if they want a big name player, I'll be like, okay, you want this player, you're going to have to pay up. I'll look at their team again. Okay, these are the select players that like, you know, you start slimming it down. So he looks on your side, gives you five players. You look on his side, give you five. He'll give you a specific player. Then you'll give him the specific players from his list your list that you give him. Slim it down to like two. So you got one to two, and then you figure out the rest. And that's kind of the new way I've gone about it. And it all circles down to talking. If you go in just offering with little comments on down below.
Yeah,
if you
communicate through it, sure. That's going to help.
But if you sit there and you just do little comments in the reject, you're not going to get anything done because you need to figure out what is missing from the trade that you're not accepting. And that's the hardest part about trading in these other leagues that you don't really have a chat, which I've been in where like six people aren't involved in the chat and it's the worst. It ruins a league. So you need a very involved league to make trades happen. And thank goodness, I think we're all in those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have a couple questions here in the chat. I was just about to bring that one up. So he's asking, when you set out to acquire a single specific player, do you set out to acquire a type of player slash player in a tier? For me, I'll actually take this one. In my home league, Tyler was talking about, you know, most of those guys will send out maybe 5 trade offers a year. I have a 12-team home league. We have a few people in there that are in that same ilk, but we also have some pretty good owners that stay very active throughout the year. But based off of COVID concerns and things like that, I thought maybe, you know, if I get one of those like back end, you know, RB2, RB3 type guys, the guys that I feel have a little more upside that probably aren't being recognized just yet, maybe I could get them. So like a guy like Darius Geis, Daryl Henderson, I already have Rojo in that league. But yeah, I sent out 2 or 3 offers the other day to guys with players in that area. Now, obviously, the one I want is Darius Geis. So that offer was a little bit sweeter than the other two, hoping that guy would bite on it. I haven't actually got a response from any of them yet. But yeah, I kind of set out to, all right, I might not be able to land Geis, but who else is in that range that I'd be also happy to get? So I occasionally go to try to cast the larger net. Sometimes, though, I do have that very specific player. Like, you know, I missed my guy in the rookie draft. I didn't think he was going to get taken 2 picks in front of me. Somebody went out there and got Justin Jefferson. Hey, listen, I really want Justin Jefferson. I'm willing to overpay slightly. Would you be willing to take this offer? And sometimes I do go after specific players.
Yeah, and going with Zach's question, do I set out to acquire a single player? Yeah, and going the Goat District pod that I was on and talking about that is I'll actually just be taking a shower or just be around playing with my kids, and I'll randomly think, I want to acquire, like the other day, it was Joshua Kelly. I want some Joshua Kelly shares. And another great resource is the Sticky Board, who I forgot his Twitter handle. If you guys can think of it, give him a little credit. You can look at your shares. And you guys, I have more Swift shares than anything now because I've gone out and acquired Swift in a bunch
of... How many Jonathan Taylor
including
shares
do you have?
I have 0 Jonathan Taylor shares, but I have 7 DeAndre Swift shares, and I'm happy about that. Eesh. I love it. But I'll literally think about that stuff randomly throughout the day. I'll think about my quarterback situation, UDPL. Like, hey, I've got Joe Burrow. I've got Tua. I'm a little older there. Maybe I could set out to acquire somebody. Maybe I could sit here and be able to give, I don't know, something for Drew Locke. But then I look at the owner and it's Rotobon and he's impossible to trade with.
Davidson is difficult to trade with, yes.
Yes, and that's another thing. Adam TMZ, at Adam TMZ, thestickyboard.com, great resource.
Adam TZ, for those of you
at
reading it.
Adam TZ.
Not TMZ. I don't know if he's breaking any kind of like text or anything.
So yeah. That's a great resource to see how many shares you have and maybe go out and get more. But that's what I do is I'll sit there and be like, okay, I want more Deontay Johnson. I'll think of these lower tier players that have a chance to jump up. Like James Washington, why the heck not for like a late third? Because he had, I know Zach who's in the chat. I know James Washington is one of our dudes that we loved in the process and I'm still waiting for it, man. It's going to happen.
I think him and Dante Moncrief are vacationing this summer.
Dante Moncrief, Doug, I think you and I have finally...
They formed a bond when they were both with the Steelers for 3 weeks.
I think Moncrief is finally...
The torch has been passed.
It's been done.
I know. I saw your bones on that hill as I drove by. I was like, oh, Tyler!
We should have saved him.
Damn you, Dante, you killed my friend!
So here I want to ask you guys one that I got on Twitter here. Now this is a IDP league, obviously, but the offer he got, he would get Kareem Hunt for a 2021 second and Minka Fitzpatrick. So I don't know the it says full dynasty PPR 12 team 1 quarterback league. So Kareem Hunt, the air quotes here, backup in Cleveland. for a 2021 second and Minka Fitzpatrick. Unless, go ahead, Doug.
I'll take the Hunt side on that. I think Minka is a good IDP asset, but here's the thing. Like, first of all, if you're playing IDP, never have a cornerback on your roster. So it's good that he has a safety, but I think safety is pretty deep where you can find guys in most leagues. So I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt, who after this year, if he doesn't get re-signed by Cleveland, he'll be a free agent. Maybe he's a guy that goes to a different team, replaces a Leonard Fournette, and then he's your starter down in Jacksonville or one of these other teams that, you know, there's a lot of, maybe it's Green Bay, we don't know. You know, there's a lot of going to be a lot of running backs that are going to be free agents. And I think Kareem Hunt is going to be desirable because of his skill set. He's led the league in rushing before. Now, we all know he had that incident which caused him to get cut by the Chiefs in the first place. But it looks like he's keeping his nose clean and you know, he's on the up and up. So, I would pay that for Kareem Hunt, I think. I really like his skill set. And if he goes somewhere and he's a starter, you're immediately gaining a ton of value on that pick.
Yeah, I'm actually going the opposite route. But it's all dependent on scoring and how many safeties you need to start. That's what matters in IDP is how many positional players need to start. So I think Minka is probably one of the top rated safeties. He gets good tackle numbers. He's got good turnover numbers, fumbles, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. He's around the ball, and that's what matters in IDP. So I would actually go the other side. I do think Hunt moves on, but I don't think he's going to get that lead dog role anywhere. I can't see it. And with all this running back talent coming into the NFL, I just find it a lot more difficult for him to find a job when people don't want to pay running backs. So that's my issue with Hunt. If you can get a good DB and 201 and say, I'm wondering if it's in this draft class or 202. I mean, that's a deep draft class. That could be a Henry Ruggs in an IDP league. If Chase Young goes 103, that could drop people. Yeah. I love you, Damon.
Yes, so, Damon. We love
Doug,
you.
Doug, your other podcast, your other host, your brother-in-law, Josh Trotter, he asked, would offering free Grubhub meal along with my current offer help get some offers done? Have you ever thrown anything else in on an offer outside of, fantasy? HJ? Yeah. Huh?
I've actually gotten one, and Doug, it's in UDPL.
In HJ or just a different offer?
Not an Dynasty Rich was, I was like, hairy, soft as hands. But no, I asked the league. I said, hey, if he took out a pick and offered me a Nerd Herd sweatshirt, would you guys be opposed to it? And everybody answered, hey, get whatever you can in your trades, get what you want. Because it's your trade, it's your players. And I mean, as long as it's not like straight up money, which I think is collusion.
Sure.
Then I think it's okay. Especially with a group of podcasters and like, hey, I'll give you some swag instead of a second round pick. Yeah, sure. I'm cool with that.
I've never had that happen. I can tell you that Josh's trade, he has Cam Newton in our home dynasty league at a very hefty salary for one more year. He's trying to move Cam Newton's salary. It is a New England based league, so you can put follow the bouncing ball here. He's trying to get rid of the salary for a draft pick, I'm pretty sure. Will Grubhub help him? Probably not, because I don't think anyone wants to take on $9 million of Cam Newton's salary. Sorry, Josh. Maybe if you made it like a Grubhub gift card, a nice basket from the liquor store, and maybe something else on top of that, then you might get some traction. But just a Grubhub gift card, ain't gonna cut it, Doug.
Now, see, is that considered money? Is that considered collusion? I mean, if it's in a gift card form, is that? I mean, that's a good,
sneak. I mean, I'm the commissioner of the league, so if he did throw a Grub, I'd have a decision to make if there was a Grubhub gift card.
What
involved,
if he also threw Grubhub your way?
I cannot be collusion. I commission any league with a very strong value set and ethics. So no, I cannot be bought. I will kick someone from the league, but I cannot be bought.
Okay. Yeah.
Every man's got a price. Just gotta find out what it is. Another one from Twitter. DJ Moore or Kenny G, straight up?
That's a good one.
DJ Moore.
I'm with DJ Moore. Love the DJ Moore talent. Hate seeing his value so high now. I mean, I had him in 9 leagues his rookie year. 9.
Wow. Just like Swift.
Hey, if it works out the same, I'm more than happy.
Yeah, I'll go with you guys with DJ Moore here, but that's awfully close. Kenny Golladay, especially now that Stafford's at least right this second healthy.
Is back.
Yeah.
Get it? Back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the head shakes.
Miss you, Tyler. Where is the one we needed? Zach sent us one on Twitter earlier.
Yeah, there's
here's the question I wanted to bring up. This isn't a specific trade, more of a trade theory question. But who is the person across your leagues that you find it easiest to trade with? What makes them such a good trade partner? He says he's always curious about what makes a good trade partner and if there are strategies I could implement. So, Tyler, I feel that you're a very good trade partner for the most part. But that's because you have those swings. You have those moods where you're like, I just want to get some deals done. I want to find some players I like. And if you're lucky enough to have a couple of those players that Tyler likes, you're going to have a very easy time getting a deal done.
Yeah. No, and that's it. Honestly, it's if you're able to work, if you're going to be stuck in your ways and saying, nope, I need this deal, it's not going to work. And you're going to have a hard time trading with people. If you're able to kind of bend a little bit, you're going to be able to trade more with people. The Goat District, the JD from the Goat District and Pigs. I mean, I think we talked on his pod the other night. Me and him have made almost all the trades in that league this offseason, like in March, because
are you just swapping the same player back and forth? Or
it was just
he looks better on your team. Players. No, better on my team. Now he looks better on your team.
And there's another team in Pigs that Zach, I you're in the chat. There's about 5 trades, and people were kind of questioning that it might have been collusion because he just wanted the players on my team, and I liked a lot of the players on his team, and it made it really easy to make trades. And we both kind of quote unquote lost a trade, and he lost a couple trades, quote unquote, according to calculators. But in our minds, we were fine with it. Like, we're okay with it. And that's what makes a good trade partner, is that you can use the calculator as kind of a guide, like saying, okay, I'm like, if you're over a value, like on Dynasty Trade Calculator, if I'm over 10, the value of 10, I might sway a little bit. I might be like, I like the trade, but I might need a little more juice. But if it's under 10 and I'm sitting there like, I really like this trade, I'm gonna accept it. And, you know, despite what the calculator says about losing or winning. And I mean, if you're winning by 20, you're going to smash accept, right? Mm-hmm.
there's a good topic. The trade calculators. DTC seemed to be the first ones to really kind of nail it down and get it pretty perfected. But I know there's a bunch now out there on the internet for free and things like that. I know personally, I don't live and die by a calculator. If I'm putting together an offer and in my head I go, let me just go look at this quick. I might throw something into a calculator just to kind of see and be like, all right, yeah. I'm about online where I want to be. I'm very comfortable with this. And then I'll throw it out there. And I've also been on the other side where this is an offer I'm comfortable with. I'll throw it to somebody. And they'll come back to me, oh, well, this says this on the calculator, or vice versa. I get an offer and I'm like, that I don't like this offer at all. I'm just not into this player for whatever reason. And they then screenshot a calculator and like, oh, well, it actually says you're winning by 5. That's fine. I'm glad that calculator
says
I'm winning.
It's not going to change my mind typically.
Yeah, I'm telling you that I don't like that player. I don't see the upside in them. I don't see how this is going to help my team. That calculator isn't something I live and die by. How do you guys institute calculators as a tool in trades, you know, helping get them done, helping, you know, move on from a trade, something like that?
So typically the way I use a calculator, whether it's DTC, which I've used before, DLF also has a trade calculator, or the player profiler has one. Pretty much what I try to do is try to find whatever service is the closest rankings to my personal rankings and kind of use that as a tool. And then I'll punch it into a trade calculator before I even send it. I'll be like, all right, am I off my rocker here thinking that this is a fair trade? And I always try to send something that's relatively fair. I never want to try to, win a trade by a wide margin. I'm never that guy. I'm all about being fair. And I'll take a look at it and be like, all right, I'm in the ballpark. And then I'll send it as a feeler. And if they accept, cool. If they don't, I'm never the type that's going to screenshot it and send it being like, well, this said it was a fair trade. Like, because of those reasons, Tim, that you said, that maybe that person doesn't value the player, or maybe I don't value the player as much back and forth. So I strictly use it as like a behind the scenes gauge where I don't make it, I don't put it on the main stage and say, hey, this is what the calculator says to try to persuade someone. If they say, no, this isn't enough, then I'm like, all right, well, maybe we'll try to tweak it a little bit and have a conversation with it. But I never really bring that into play with the calculator and try and make that a factor as for someone to accept the trade that I'm offering.
Yeah. And honestly, all trade calculators are different. And mm-hmm. I'm going to prove that right now. Tim, did you ever look at the calculator DTC or anything for our trade?
No, I never once looked at a calculator.
Okay. Well, I didn't either because I liked the offer. Mm-hmm. So on DTC, our offer was 17, my side, that I gave to you, and 23 for your side. And that's strictly because Minshew is the greater value. Mm-hmm. Now, get this. On Player Profiler Calculator, which is also a great resource, mm-hmm. Team 1, which is Harry and the second, is 76.47. Team 2 is 78.43. So,
is that with the Superflex ranking on, though? Because I know they have a separate set of calculators.
That is, yeah. That is with the Superflex ranking.
Okay.
So it evaluates trades differently. All calculators are different. So if you get a calculator saying that this trade is this way, I mean, what I do is I politely will say, hey, I don't really use that calculator. This is the kind of values I go on. Like, I think DTC's values are great. I think they're spot on for me. They kind of evaluate what I think the players
that
are worth.
They gave you your own little avatar.
That is true. DeAndre Swift is my
he's
guy.
He's the Tyler's guy.
Yes, nice. That was awesome. But
think we can get a Dawson Knox one, Tim. You and I.
Ooh.
We're like as long as you guys are hugging, maybe
no, they're holding rubbing. Each other, high five.
Spooning? Can we spoon and get an avatar?
Stocking, whatever.
I'll take it. Whatever works.
So yeah, going back to a trade I made last night, I got a N'Keal Harry share, and I instantly went out and I shopped him. I like N'Keal Harry, the player. I don't like his situation that much. So I went out and I shopped him. I offered Harry for Brandon Ayuk straight up or Darius Slayton and a third to a friend who is a Patriots fan. And he accepted the Slayton one, which was shocking to me because I thought Slayton was a better player for the value. But I mean, he accepted the Slayton one. I lost by, I think, 5 points by the calculator, and I was awesome with it. I was like, heck yes. So I love Slayton. I think Slayton actually has a higher ceiling than Harry with his situation. So
I would say this
just went Slayton, and let's be honest, if Slayton produces better, he is going to be the starter for New York for a while.
He'll probably be their one.
I get draft capital is the fifth round, but a lot of players come out of nowhere with a lower end draft capital. So I'm not too nervous about that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times I won't look at it. But if, like you said, like with bigger trades, that's when I will go and check it out because a player like Justin Jefferson, who I love, is valued the same as N'Keal Harry in the calculator. But to me, that ain't even close. Like Jefferson's way above Harry.
Here's one I pulled off last night. I pulled off two trades in one Tyler last night, and then in another league, I actually screenshotted this and sent it to YouTube, and you guys were kind of split on it. I had the Breshad Perriman for Russell Gage straight up on my roster. Breshad Perriman is not a scheduled starter any week, not even in bye weeks. I should have enough wide receiver depth that Breshad Perriman was never going to crack my starting lineup. Russell Gage, I think he's an injury away or a positive coronavirus test away from being, you know, a team's number two potentially target in a very pass happy offense, which I think is nothing but upside. And Doug, you've been pushing Russell Gage for months and months and months, mm-hmm. Since the end of last year. So I looked at it as a positive COVID test. And hopefully, you know, let's just say one of the other receivers there gets COVID. They are asymptomatic, but just because of that, they have to miss a game. Russell Gage for that week is going to have that spike in value. That's going to be a window where I can sell Russell Gage at a much higher price than I think I'll ever be able to sell Breshad Perriman for the rest of his career. So I thought that move, another one, I put it together, didn't look at a calculator. I was fine with losing because I know there's going to be, I think, at least an opportunity to sell Russell Gage at an inflated price. I wanted to ask you guys, I know really the only time I'll take an offer and really go study it on a calculator is when I get one of those offers where I'm like, am I missing something? How is this offer's too good to be true almost?
Yeah.
What's going on? I like to plug those ones into the calculators just to kind of see like, how bad is this going to be?
Yeah. I had one last night like that. It's a home league, but he, like I said, Justin Jefferson, he wanted, and his first offer was, and it's a salary contract league, so that makes a big difference. And quarterbacks, it's not super flex, but they're valued a little higher because if you don't draft a good quarterback, you are not prying him off that team's hands unless you have a first round pick, mm-hmm. because they're just valued super high. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he came with to me with Baker. I get Baker and Jefferson, and he gave Harry and Jerry Jeudy. Now I have Jeudy and Jefferson pretty close. I may have Jeudy slightly higher. Maybe they're about even, but I was like, man, I don't have another quarterback behind Baker. He's my second quarterback with Matt Ryan. So I'm like, I can't do that. So then he came at me and he goes, okay, fine. How about this? And I gave Baker, Jefferson, and a third next year and a fourth next year for Darnold, Jerry Jeudy, and N'Keal Harry. And I thought to myself, okay, am I missing something? Like, is there something that I'm not seeing? And, you know, I pulled up on the calculator. I was winning. And that's the greatest part about being in a home league is the bias is... Like maybe you get a little more value out of those home team players. Like Doug, maybe you get a little more value for that Cam Newton, like Josh was wanting. Or yep. Like with me, Vikings, like I took Jefferson at 107 because I love Jefferson, but I knew that the second he has a huge
Minnesota
game,
league, yeah,
I can destroy on that value. Like yeah. I could get the world for this guy with that value. And I already did. Because, I mean, Jeudy was taken 104 in this rookie draft not long ago, and Jefferson was 107. And, I mean, I flipped Harry, and I got Darnold, who I think is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. So, I love the trade. I decided to check the value. And occasionally, you'll get those trades where you just look at it, and you rush to the email quick, and you hit accept. You're just like, oh, crap. He's going to revoke it.
Like our Peter Howard trade.
Yeah, the Gallup for... what was it, 2021 first?
No, it was the Amari Cooper one.
Ah, man. We've made so many deals in that league that I can't remember half of them, but I looked at our squad there.
It was like two 2020 firsts in T.Y. Hilton, I think, for Amari Cooper.
Yes. And
I was literally sitting on the toilet when I saw that, and I didn't even text Tyler. I just hit accept.
He was not worried about his britches. And messing him after he saw that because he was already on that toilet.
I was like,
no, no. And honestly, I worried about co-owning because you guys know how much I like to wheel and deal. Mm-hmm. I worried about co-owning, but Doug and also Tim and Doug in a league, they're a great buffer just to be like, hey, dude, back off a little bit. Like, hey, you know, sit down and think.
You slipped that. What was it? The Barkley trade? Was it Barkley?
It was Alvin Kamara for Zeke.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
I still think we got the better deal.
Tyler panicked after the Zeke pushing the security guard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
But I mean, and Doug and
he traded Dawson Knox behind my back once.
Oh, that's right.
And also with the Trade Addict 7 League that I co-own with Doug, we have massively ganged value. Insane. Like we have We have four first rounders next year. We had five early picks this year. That team is going to dominate in years to come. And honestly, I was not a fan of co-owning until I started co-owning with you guys, and it's been a journey. I've gotten very upset with you guys in a couple of instances where I'm like, we need to smash this trade.
Tyler's like kicking and screaming like a child, and I'm like, just knock it off. We're not doing this.
And I see certain players at very similar rates, and Tyler just doesn't agree with it. So it's, I want this guy. We're like,
when you get an offer for Hockenson, it's tough for me not to get upset if I don't accept it. So that's probably, I mean, it's been fun, but yeah, I mean, trading with co-owners is John DeBarry's in UDPL 2.0. And he's had the same issues. Like, I want Steven Sims from him, and he keeps telling me he's got to get a hold of his co-owner. And I'm like, dude, it's like a third round pick.
Just do it.
Like, I'm sitting there like, it's like a third round pick. But I mean, that's the issue with co-owning. You have to get the whole crew. You got to figure it out together. Yeah. Unless you go behind their back and you accept a Zeke trade for Evan Kamara.
So mad.
And then you see the notification. Wait, what do you mean I traded Zeke? No, I didn't. What happened here?
And then I go hide.
No. I think the trading is, you know, you have your draft. Well, there's the startup draft. There's your rookie drafts. Is the free agency, and then the trading. I think the trading is probably, other than drafting, probably the next most important piece to being a solid dynasty owner, being active in trades, answering trades. If you don't like a trade, it's okay to you know, hit deny, cancel the trade out, but at least give some sort of response. Don't let those trades hang out there too daggone long. I know everybody's got lives outside of the fantasy world, but just check in on them every couple of days or so. But I think it's an art, really. And I think some people are better at it than others. I tend to shoot out offers that are pretty daggone close to the line I'm willing to go to. You're not going to see too much more value out of me other than that original offer. You might get a mid-level pick somewhere, late second, early third, just to kind of swing it if that's what it's going to take. But and I think I need to be a little more flexible if the original offer doesn't work, to be able to have those conversations and say, okay, well, that you don't like that, what can I do to make this work, and start having more conversations and try to get more comfortable in the trading side of things.
Yeah, and you just have to know like when to walk away. Like I was negotiating with someone which I thought was a more than fair offer. And then we kind of tweaked it a little bit and we just couldn't come to a middle ground. And I was like, you know what? Like, we're just never going to agree here. And I'm just going to walk away. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, we just don't see eye to eye, and that's okay. There's no reason to get angry about it.
Yep.
You know, this person valued a player more than I did, and that's okay. Like, I was willing to send them a second round pick next year for a player that I thought I could just get straight up for a 2021 second, and that wasn't the case. And then we tweaked it a little bit and we just couldn't agree, and that's okay. You're never, you know, part of the art of trading is also not pissing off that other person, because you still want to have them open to trade with you in the future, because you never know when they're going to acquire a player that you want. And then you're going to completely roll your eyes, cause you're like, oh, this guy's never going to trade me because that time I was an asshole to him. Yeah. So it's like, you know what, is be amicable and like, hey, you know what? I just don't think it's going to work out, and that's okay. That way you can leave that trade partner open again. You know, one of the things I think probably the best dynasty advice I got was from Leo Pasiga, who keeps his notebook, and he keeps a notebook. He has all his league mates in it. He writes down like, all right, this guy likes picks. This guy likes to try to get young receivers, and he'll write down the trades, and he uses that strategically to his advantage to be like, all right, I know this guy is going to overpay for Miami Dolphins because he's a Miami fan, or you know, anything like that. So he keeps a notebook as a tactical advantage to be like, all right, well, he's got this guy, and I know he doesn't like the Colts for whatever reason, like maybe because I don't like the Jets or something like that. So he's like, all right, maybe I can dig for a discount on Michael Pittman, who he just drafted, or whatever the case may be. So it's having those nuanced tweaks to some of your leagues that can provide you with big advantages. But again, it's a matter of putting in the time. And I think that's the hardest part is, you know, when you put pen to paper, or if you're typing, is taking the time to break that down. But if you do it, it will pay off in the end as an advantage for you in your leagues.
Another don't try to explain how your side is losing the trade and the side you're giving is winning. Never do that.
I find that so off-putting.
Yeah.
Yes. You'll lose a trade partner quicker than you have ganged one.
Yeah.
Also, B, I forgot what I was going to say with B, but it was very good. There's so many don'ts that you should do, though, in trades. And man, just don't explain how your site's better. Trade calculator screenshot. I don't mind. I really don't, because I use it, but it really ticks off a couple people.
Here's what I do. Instead of the whole trade, because I told you I really don't use that. What I like to, I try to seek to understand. So if there's an offer that we're going back and forth on about, I'd be like, hey, walk me through your process and let me understand your value on this player.
Yeah.
Because then they can say, all right, well, I value this player this way. And then I can come back and be like, all right, I can see this. I don't value them that highly because of X, Y, Z. And it gives you a better understanding where they're at. So you're like, all right, they like them this way. If I want them, I got to maybe pitch in a little bit more. But if you work yourself through the process, it just becomes more of an understanding piece. Instead of just a name on a piece of paper, you understand why this person likes that player so much. Mm-hmm. And it could also give you a red flag to be like, you know what? They're not going to give up this player for a price that I want to pay. So yeah, you can absolutely just turn around and say, you know what? Like you value them more than I do, and I'm not willing to pay up for them. That's totally cool. Like if it was someone who was trying to trade with me, like an Aaron Jones, like I love Aaron Jones. It's going to be hard to get him away from me. It's going to, you know, you're going to have to probably overpay and you might not want to do that. And that's fine, but he's one of my guys. And that, you know, that's a guy that I'm just going to be, you know, I probably should have sold him middle of the season, but whatever. I just love the guy. So it's, you know, everyone has those players that they really like that are going to be harder to acquire. So having that communication and that seek to understand element to me is important in trade process. And just thought process in general.
I know we're going a bit long, but Doug, you just mentioned something that made me think. It's another thing I know I need to work on is the Aaron Joneses of the world. The my guy types. I get them on my roster and I want to hoard them. They're mine. I've loved this guy. Matt Brady, I've loved him. I've loved him since he was a sophomore in college. He's all mine. You can't have him. I don't care what you are. And no, there's, I said it earlier to you that every man has a price. You have to, even when it's your guy, you have to realize what the market value is on every player and realize when you're being offered more than market value and when you are receiving a more than fair offer. And those, you know, and because of these podcasts and doing rankings, most players I play with in leagues understand where I value almost everybody, you know, that you can ascertain in the league. So I need to just not be so strong-headed and like, no, I was here first. Keyshawn Vaughn's all mine. You'll never get him away from me. No, if I get a fair or above fair offer for Keyshawn Vaughn, I need to say, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is value. I need to take the guy that I said, but I said his name first, so I have him. No, here you go. You can have this guy. I'll take this value and I'll hopefully find my next guy. And that's what I'll get with this.
Yeah, and I traded Aaron Jones in a league in the offseason this year because I was like, you know what? Like, my team is super young in open bar tab, which you guys have both been in. And I was like, you know what? Aaron Jones, is he going to help me 2 or 3 years down the road? The answer is maybe, but probably not. Yeah. So I sold him for what I thought was pretty good value. And, you know, that's the instance where I was like, all right, I really have to take a hard look. I love me some Aaron Jones. I acquired him on the cheap. So why not try to flip that profit? I still have Aaron Jones shares elsewhere, but part of it is like keeping the my guy is that's what's part of the fun for me is that when that guy does well, you feel like a proud dad.
Yeah.
You're like, you know,
I knew you could do it.
Scratch. Aaron Jones, that's my guy. 19 touchdowns. Get out of here. Let's go. Like, you feel like you're on top of the world. Yeah. And I love that feeling. So that's why the my guy thing is it keeps it fun for me too, because it's like, all right, I'm rooting for this guy. And if he pops, like, I'm going to bang my chest and be like, yes, good job out there, Sonny boy, and be super happy.
Yep. And honestly, that's what makes it fun to overpay for your guys. Like, it doesn't matter what a calculator says. Go get your guys. Yeah. Have fun with fantasy. Hockenson, I've overpaid in so many leagues. I've got an offer to Clint where I'm offered him a first, 2 seconds, and a player. And I don't care if that's overpaying because, you know what?
You just
I'm going to live and die on the Hockenson Hill, The Hawk Hill.
Ooh, I like that. The Hawkinson Hill.
The Hawk Hill.
You find your thrill down on the Hawkinson Hill.
And if he doesn't pan out, you know what? They're just picks. Because yeah. this is a game in the end. Yeah, you know, it may suck to not have those picks for your team build, but it's a team.
Guess what? You're going to get more of everything.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, breaking news. My Scott Fishbowl draft is complete.
Woo. Hey, I made a pick when we were doing the pod. There you go. I picked Justin Herbert at 14.07.
Very nice. Very nice.
Tim, who was your last pick?
Our last pick. I've paired up with Clubber Lang. He didn't get into the Scott Fishbowl. More than deserving. One of the writers for the site over there at Dynasty Happy Hour. Great guy. So I asked him, hey, you know, you deserve to share this experience. Why don't you join me? We'll team up and see what we can do. Our last pick, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. MVS.
Okay. Wow.
Still on the board there in the last round. It was between him, the likes of Tyler Johnson, Van Jefferson. And we figured, you know, an injury and he could be Green Bay's number two receiver.
Yeah. So going back to taking chances, I traded Kenny Golladay and picks 3 2 years ago, I think, before when Marquez Valdez-Scantling was going off for MVS and a second round pick.
What'd you turn that second round pick into? Please. I don't know. Very good.
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, you win some and you lose some. And that, I mean, if you hit, what is it? What did JD from Go District say? If you're hitting on 60% of trades, you're winning.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Maybe you turn that pick into, you use that second and like a third and you moved up into the late first and you took AJ Brown.
For Moncrief.
Yeah. I don't know. I owned him in that league too, so who knows what I get? Who knows what I do with that pick? But you know what? It's in the past. It hasn't affected my team lately, so it's chances you take. You know, I got Terry McLaurin on that team. Let's go.
There you go. All right, Doug, I think we're back to you. I think that about wraps us up, man.
Yeah, man. Good trade talk with some strategy and some things going on there. I know it's trading season. I really haven't had any trades to report, so I was pretty silent. There's nothing going on. I'm not typically an active trade seeker. If they come to me, cool. But and to answer Zach's question earlier, I usually focus on specific players that I'm looking to get. Like in the offseason in Pigs 2, I traded for Deontay Johnson kind of before the buzz started to get really, really high. But I paid a pretty good price. I paid the equivalent of a 2021 first, which is a cash value for Deontay Johnson. And some people in the chat were like, okay, I get it, but that's kind of an overpay. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Like, I want him on my team, so that I did it.
Yeah.
Trades for me, I don't really actively seek them out all that often. I get these urges like Tyler does, but it's probably like 1/100th of the occurrences that Tyler does.
I've had it bad for like 2 weeks, so
yeah,
it's good. I might
it's
look
like
at
a
Doug's
herpes outbreak. He starts to itch real bad, and he's just got to. He's got to make trades. It's the only way to fix it.
So the lesson learned is Tyler gets herpes way more often than I do.
Oh, and the best part is when Doug said he hasn't had a trade lately, my first thought is I'm going to look at his team tonight.
Hey, look at my team. Send me some offers. I'm not open to it. So.
Like Jonathan Taylor.
Him? Here we go. We're going to go down that train again. Oh, man. Anywho, that is going to wrap us up on Dynasty Happy Hour. Thank you to Tim. Thank you to Tyler. Make sure you check out the website, dynastyhappyhour.com. Make sure you log into iTunes, rate and review the show. If there's something that you love, tell us. If there's something that you don't love, you know what? Tell us that too. That's the only way we know how we can get better for you. I hope you enjoyed the live broadcast on both YouTube and Periscope. And make sure you click subscribe and drop a like. That's right. I'm a YouTuber. So drop a like on there as well. Yeah, that's going to do it. We're going to see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.